بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد. In this series on the explanation and commentary of Surah Al-Rahman, which is considered the adorned surah of the Quran. Literally speaking, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, everything has a bride, and the bride of the Quran is Surah Al-Rahman. But what the ulama have mentioned about bride is that normally brides are adorned. And likewise, this surah is specially embellished and adorned, and that's why it's called the bride. So we can call it the adorned or the embellished surah, Muzayyan, with zina, as they say in Arabic. So in the last few verses that we covered last week, it spoke about how everything will be destroyed, how everything will come to an end, and the only thing that will remain will be the countenance of your Lord. So from there, this is where we begin today. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says that everything that is in the heavens and the earth, everything that has a spirit, will come to an end. They will no longer be living, so they will die. And the only thing that will remain is وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. The only thing that will remain is, literally speaking here, the countenance of your Lord. The countenance of your Lord, full of majesty, full of honor. Most of the mufassirin have explained the countenance as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His essence. The essence of Allah. There's a problem with taking it literally without leaving the meaning of it to Allah. If you take the meaning literally, the word wajhun means face. That would mean you're attributing a face separate from the body to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that would be problematic. But as in many other places, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned certain things like this. The way of the pious predecessors was to leave it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah knows best what it means. However, this has been described by many other scholars that normally the face is used to represent the whole body. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the punishment and also about the favors that will be granted to certain people in the hereafter, He speaks about how their faces will react to it. And normally the face's reaction is a gauge for the whole body and how it feels. So normally the face, because it's one of the most expressive and one of the most detailed aspects of the body, normally that's mentioned to take a whole. And you do this in many different things where you'll mention and one aspect and you will intend by it the whole. And likewise, this is what many ulama have explained this as. Otherwise, there'd be major issues if you were to take this as face, that everything but the face of Allah will be destroyed. I don't even want to entertain some of the other questions that that could lead to, because it could be quite blasphemous. But there are some people who kind of insist on this, that you must take a literal meaning and not a metaphorical meaning. And that's why we leave it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah knows best what that means. But the main thing is saying is that everything will perish except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there are ahadith that go into more detail about this, that after everything has perished, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will address, will make an announcement. Who is there? Where are the rulers of the world? Where are the sovereigns of the world? And nobody will be there to respond to Him. Dhul Jalali wal Ikram, Jalal, majesty. And Ikram, Ikram means great benevolence. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one with great majesty and the one who gives, who is very generous, very benevolent. Just like He says, Kullu shay'in halikun illa wajha, in another place. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, the sahabi, he explains this. He says, Al-Wajhu ibaratu min Allahi jalla wa'ala al-baqi al-da'im. This is Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam considered, made dua for. He is considered to be the scholar of the ummah, one of the greatest mufassirs and commentators on the Quran, is Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. He's saying the wajhun, the word here used for face, actually is referring to Allah, most majestic, most high. Meaning Allah as the whole essence, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't make Allah into parts. So that's what he said. The question here is that the characteristic use for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the end of time, the only thing that will remain is Allah dhul jalali wal ikram. The one who's most majestic. We can understand the appropriateness, the link between being majestic and great with what is happening at that time. You have to be great and majestic to be able to do what he will do at that time. But why ikram? Everybody's dying. It's a time of total and utter destruction. Things coming to an end. So why use the characteristic ikram? Ikram means to be benevolent, the one who gives gifts, the one who bestows. So why that particular description here? The Quran doesn't provide random descriptions for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every description that is chosen in a particular place is chosen for a particular reason. So why ikram here? So Allama Qurtubi, he explains that the reason here is that this world is, from the beginning, it's supposed to be a temporary world. It's supposed to be a world that's just for a number of years, a select number of years. The real world that you have been created for is Jannah. And that's where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to go. Unfortunately, everybody doesn't do good enough and well enough to become entitled. They take themselves out of it. There's no university that is established by anybody or school because they want to fail people. I'm going to establish a school because I just love to fail people. So I'm going to make it really difficult, I'm going to make it really awkward so that people fail and I get enjoyment out of it. I'm not putting this past human beings, they could do that, but it would be, that's not where the majority, most universities are around for, or madrasas or schools. The world is not for that reason to fail people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants everybody in His benevolence to go to paradise, but unfortunately people don't live up to that. But the fact of ikram is that finally this world is ending. Maut is the gift of the believer, because it will link the person to his Lord and to Jannah, to paradise. The problem is that we can't, for some of us, it's not so clear and so vivid, because if our focus on the hereafter isn't that great, and we've got attachment to this world, then we can't really see the benefit of going somewhere else. I'd rather stay here, kind of attitude. But if we've got such a big deal, such a big point in our mind that place is where I really want to go. I'm just here for a short moment. There are people who move to England, but they want to be in another country. They just can't wait to get out of here. Or they go somewhere else. They're there for a few years. They're just going for work. They just can't wait to get out. They've got, their heart is set in another place. Now think about the people who are really there for the hereafter. Isn't this a bounty now? That finally you can escape this world? What you have been anticipating and waiting for and longing for, now you've gone, now you will come to it, now there is no other way for this world to continue, and now you'll go to the hereafter. Dhul Jalali wal Ikram, the Lord of Majesty and great benevolence, that finally Jannah will be there for you. And clearly for the disbelievers that's not the case. That's the issue. فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. Which of the bounties of your Lord will you deny? يَسْأَلُهُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. يَسْأَلُهُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. That is, all those in the heavens and the earth, they ask from Him, they beseech Him, they need Him, and thus they ask from Him. Everybody is in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is what is being established in this ayah. يَسْأَلُهُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Both those in the heavens and the earth are in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for their own sustenance. They're not self-reliant. They only exist because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they need Him. كُلَّ يَوْمٍ هُوَ فِي شَأْن. كُلَّ يَوْمٍ هُوَ فِي شَأْن. This is the way it's translated here, is every day he is in a state of action. Every day he is doing something. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of the reasons for this verse is very simple. The Christians, they say, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the world in 6 days, and then He rested on the seventh. As though it made Him weary, it made Him tired, and thus He had to relax and rest. This is a response to that, that at any given moment Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is doing something. Something is happening. He is in control. He is never passive. He is never dormant. He's always doing something. But let not a picture arise in our minds when we say that of somebody who's just constantly busy moving around, rushing around. Let that not arise in our mind, because this is Allah who we're speaking about. Let it be understood that what this means is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is constantly at every moment. And that moment can be as small as you can make it. An infinitesimal moment. So small. He is in charge. He is permitting things to happen, causing things to take place, watching things, hearing things, all together, all at once. And it doesn't tire Him out. That's just the way He is. He has that power. Such broad power. That is just totally impossible and inconceivable for our minds to even fathom and understand and get our heads around. So one mustn't understand this that He's constantly busy and keeping active. That's not the point here. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala we're speaking about. So it needs to be a pure understanding that Allah is in charge. Our God is the one who gives every leaf that falls on the earth at any given moment, simultaneously, different parts of the world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives that leaf permission to drop. So every day, kulla yawmin huwa fi sha'an. He's involved in something every day. But again, we need to understand this in a very pure way. It's very necessary. Some examples of this, as the Mufassirin have said. At every moment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is forgiving someone. He is he's forgiving someone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is relieving somebody's agony or grief or sadness. He is elevating someone. He is honoring someone. He is debasing someone else in a given moment. Somebody, you know, may debase someone else, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is debasing someone. He is curing someone. He's causing someone else to become ill. He is enriching someone. He is causing the circumstances to make somebody poor. He is helping somebody, guiding them. It's just infinite number of things. These are just ideas of what this verse means. Now that's why the Muqatil, the great commentator, Mufassir, he says that this verse was actually revealed about the Jews. Because they said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't do anything on Saturday. He doesn't decree anything on Saturday. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is rejecting that point. That every day it's something. فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. Which of the bounties of your Lord will you deny? O jinn and human being. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks to the jinn and the human being directly again, saying, سَنَفْرُغُ لَكُمْ أَيُّهَا الثَّقَلَانِ فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. We will spare ourselves for you. Soon we are going to spare ourselves for you to reckon with your deeds. That's the translation here. سَنَفْرُغُ Faragh means to put everything else aside and focus on one thing. To make oneself available. Again, we must take this in a meaning that is befitting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can take care of people, can deal with people while He's doing everything else at the same time. He doesn't need to put things aside. But this is an exaggerated sense that we're going to really focus on you now. Even in the world, it's the same thing. People use this term. The idea is that we're coming after you. we are going to now look into your affair. We're going to investigate this matter, or whatever the case is. It doesn't mean that they have to stop everything else. Clearly with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he definitely doesn't need to. But this is just to show that we're going to now focus and there's no way for you to get out. It's just to create more fright and a greater dread within the minds of people. سَنَفْرُغُ لَكُمْ أَيُّهَا الثَّقَلَانِ. And look at the way it's being said. That سَنَفْرُغُ لَكُمْ, we're going to free ourselves and spare ourselves for you. Oh, the two beings and creation that burden the earth. ثَقَلَانِ. Because as we mentioned that the other creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do not burden the earth, even though they may be heavier than the human being and the jinn, because they cannot sin. And the earth is only burdened by sin. It doesn't like sin. It's a pure earth that does not like to be burdened by sin being committed on it. It has no problem with heavy mountains and heavy iron or whatever else it may be. That's not the issue. The issue is the sin that is committed on it, which is what harms the earth. So it's only the human beings and the jinn that have the ability to sin, because they're the only ones that are accountable and have free will. So ثقلان, ثقل means weight. ثقلان, those two who are weighty. Those who weigh down the earth. I mean, it could also maybe mean those who hold some weight in the sight of Allah, that He's given them the ability to go into paradise if they do right. So you could take it maybe in a positive meaning as well. But ثقلان. But because it's kind of in a warning situation here, he's talking about it in a negative sense, right? We're going to now free ourselves for you. So obviously he's probably talking about the evildoers of the jinn and the ins. You are just burdening the earth with your weight of your sins. So we're going to free ourselves now to take care of you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free. He can do whatever He wants at any time. But this is just specifically in that sense. The other thing is that this is speaking specifically about the Day of Judgment. And everything will be now concentrated for that day. See, in the world, somebody may be having a trial somewhere. If Allah is punishing someone, there's a lot of other things that are going on in the world. Right? Everybody doesn't fixate on one thing. You may have some major impacting and influencing issues that take place, but it's only going to be a certain amount of people that will focus on that. But on the Day of Judgment, everybody will be there together, from the Adam alayhi salam, from the first man to the last person. There will be nothing else. So even in reality, this means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that there is nothing else. Just to make it even more dreadful, there's nothing else I need to even be concerned about today. The whole focus is on this day. سَنَفْرُغُ لَكُمْ أَيُّهَا الثَّقَلَانِ, because this is the day when you all come together and you're going to be questioned. So it's about the Day of Judgment. فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. Now in the next verses, it's all about the evildoers. Until now, the description was mostly about mentioning the different bounties that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, the different cosmic realities, the sun, the moon, the heavens and the earth, the land, and so on. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is specifically speaking about the way the evildoers will be dealt with in the hellfire, or in the hereafter. That will be then followed by a long discussion of how the people of paradise will be. And this is considered one of the most beautiful presentations about that, because it's so clearly mentioned. But let's look at what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says first about the evildoers. I'm going to read it through so that we get a general idea, then we'll look in detail inshaAllah. يَا مَعْشَرَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنسِ إِنِ اسْتَطَعْتُمْ أَن تَنْفُذُوا مِنْ أَقْطَارِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ فَانْفُذُوا لَا تَنْفُذُونَ إِلَّا بِسُلْطَانِ فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ يُرْسَلُ عَلَيْكُمَا شُوَاظٌ مِّن نَارٍ وَنُحَاسٌ فَلَا تَنْتَصِرَانِ فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ فإذا انشقت السماء فكانت وردة كالدهان فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان فيومئذ لا يسأل عن ذنبه إنس ولا جان فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان يعرف المجرمون بسيماهم فيؤخذ بالنواصي والأقدام فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان هذه جهنم التي يكذب بها المجرمون يطوفون بينها وبين حميم آن فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان. That ends the discussion on the evil people, and that's followed by the discussion on the pious people. But here, this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. O congregation of jinn and mankind, O genera of jinn and mankind, if you are able to penetrate beyond the realms of the heavens and the earth, then penetrate. You cannot penetrate without power. On the day of judgment, if you can escape, go and escape. But the only way you can escape if you have the power, and you don't have that on that day. So which of the bounties of your Lord will you deny? A flame of fire and a smoke will be loosened against you, and you will not be able to defend. So which of the bounties of your Lord will you deny? And continue to deny. So it will be a terrible event when the sky will split apart and will become rosy like red hides. Which of the bounties of your Lord will you deny? On that day, neither a man will be questioned about his sin nor a jinn. A man will not be questioned about his sin, neither will a jinn be questioned about his sin. I'll explain why that's mentioned in that way. So which of the bounties of your Lord will you deny? The guilty ones, this is giving the response to the question that comes up in the previous verse, the guilty ones will be recognized by angels through their marks and will be seized by foreheads and feet. There's no need to question them. The marks will be clear on their face and on their bodies. So which of the bounties of your Lord will you deny? This is Jahannam, hellfire, that the guilty people deny. They will circle around between it and between hot boiling water. So which of the bounties of your Lord will you deny? And then it begins by, and for the one who is fearful of having to stand before his Lord, there are two gardens. That's a totally different description. Let's look at this description first in a bit more detail. Firstly, after saying, سَنَفْرُغُ لَكُمْ أَيُّهَا الثَّقَلَانِ, that we will free ourselves for you on that day. And then very clearly, O congregation of jinn and humans, if you're able to go beyond the limits of the heavens and the earth, then do so. If you can get out of the extremities of the seven heavens, the earth, running away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, escaping from your decree and from the reckoning, then do so. And try to free yourself and deliver yourself from the punishment that awaits you. Obviously here, it's almost like a hukam. It's apparently an order. But it's an order to rub the matter in. So it's not an order that you will be able to fulfill. It's just rubbing the point in. لَا تَنْفُذُونَ إِلَّا بِسُلْطَانِ. You cannot go beyond the extremities. You cannot go beyond the boundaries of this heavens and earth, which are under the sovereignty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You cannot go beyond that except bisultanin. Sultan means a power. That's why the sultan is called the powerful sultan. The leader is called the sultan. Sultan means power. You do not have the ability to leave and go beyond, except with some kind of ability, some kind of dominance, and you do not have that. Where would you get that from? Ibn Kathir rahimahullah, he says the meaning of this is that you will not be able to escape from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, you will be so encompassed on that day when people will be standing there. What it mentions in the big descriptions, as we did some of those descriptions before in the previous series that we did on the Day of Judgment, it mentions that people, all the human beings and the jinn, they will be totally encompassed and surrounded. Nobody will be able to go out of that place. You will be able to move. Wherever you go, you'll still be encompassed. You'll still be within that. This is the place of the hashr, the gathering, where the reckoning will take place. And the idea is that there will be so many angels. It says that there will be seven rows of angels standing like an army. How will you penetrate even one angel? We're talking about seven rows of a huge mass of angels in any direction that you turn, guarding these places. You cannot go beyond them. The only way you could, meaning it's not an impossibility. It's not probable and it's not possible because you don't have the power. But if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed you to go beyond that, He could make you do so. Illa bi sultan, except with power, except with the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah will let you go to paradise and go beyond this. That's why يَقُولُ الْإِنسَانُ يَوْمَئِذٍ أَيْنَ الْمَفَرُ. The human will say on that day, where is the escape? Where is the escape? أَيْنَ الْمَفَرُ. Where's the place to escape? Now this is talking about the hereafter. You see, there are some people who looked at this verse and said that this verse is no longer applicable, that this has become outdated. And the reason why they said that is their understanding of if you try to go beyond the أقطار السماوات والأرض, beyond the realms of the heavens and the earth, you can do so. They're saying that nowadays we have the ability to reach Mars and to reach different planets and so on. Illa bi sultan, what they're saying is that sultan refers to power, but power here refers to knowledge. So with all of the astronomical and scientific discoveries, and what the humans have been able to achieve in terms of building vehicles that allow a person to go beyond the world where people have historically not been able to go. So that means that it's not going against the Quran, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does give an outlet by saying that you can go, the only way you can go is bi sultanin, is by power, which means they're saying knowledge. And now humans have that knowledge, so they can go. But clearly they have misunderstood this. The humans have only power to go still within the heavens. They can't even go up to the first heaven, because all the stars that we're still unable to reach, and the sun is only one star, that is the closest one to us. We can only go to the moon and maybe beyond, to maybe somewhere beyond that. That is within the first heaven. The first heaven begins above that. So everything that we can think about here is all within the first heaven. So this is speaking about, can you go beyond the extremities of the seven heavens and the earth? So that's clearly a misunderstanding, a very superficial reading that those people have made, whoever has mentioned that point. So sultan is power to go beyond the seven heavens, and nobody has that power. In fact, if you do try to go, it mentions, يُرْسَلُ عَلَيْكُمَا شُوَاظٌ مِّن نَّارٍ, which is, if anybody tries to go and penetrate beyond the realms of the heavens and the earth, a flame of fire and a smoke will be loosened against you, and you will not be able to defend. So even if you're able to get beyond the angels and get beyond the territorial realm of it, there are other things. This is just to show that you're completely enclosed. There is no escape. You'd rather do something good in this world to be able to be dealt with positively. There's a student we have who's not behaving very well, from a broken family. And we've made a special class for him. We've got a special teacher with only 5 or 6 students. Give them some attention. It's very easy for a school to just throw students out. We can't take care of them. Somebody has to deal with them. So let's try our best. And this constantly distracting. He's still constantly distracting. So I asked him, I said, you're looking for attention, right? And he said, yes, I am. He thought about it. He said, yes, I am looking for attention. I said, why do you look for negative attention then? Do something positive. And you'll get positive attention. You'll get attention. It'll be positive, and you'll love it a lot more than this negative attention. It's ajeeb. No attention at home, and thus the attention that's needed here, they mess around to get attention. Because the teacher can't be focusing on one person at all times. But they do negative, so you're constantly telling them. And these studies have shown this, that this is called negative attention. That a lot of the time when somebody is misbehaving, it's because of negative attention that they're trying to claim some attention. He had the decency to, he's a slightly older kid, he had the decency to be able to say that. But here, the same thing just comes to mind here, is that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is depicting this helpless situation, where you can't do anything, you can't even change anything anymore, you can't even say sorry now, if you don't have the ability. So why not just do things from him and get positive attention then? Rather than attract the negative attention which can't even be changed. These are all examples for us to think about. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just showing how evil, how detrimental, how difficult it is on that time, on that day. So that we make the change before that. So even if you're able to penetrate or go beyond this, there's still these things that will be set loose on you. Fire that will be set loose on you. You won't be able to do anything. In fact, it won't even, the sky, the heavens will not even be things that you're familiar with anymore. You won't even recognize them. And thus Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now goes on to depict how the sky will look on that day. And thus, then he mentions, يُرْسَلُ عَلَيْكُمَا شُوَاظٌ مِّن نَارٌ وَنُحَاسٌ فَلَا تَنْتَصِرَانٌ. So firstly, you will be a flame of fire and a smoke. Some have said nuhasun is a smoke. So smoke will, so you'll be, you know, you won't be able to even see your smoke, what it does to you. So fire and smoke will be set against you, set loose against you. Others have said nuhasun is actually referring to molten, a molten element that will be poured over you, right? That will be showered over you. There's just no way for you to go. But others have said, no, dukhan is that smoke which doesn't come with a flame. It's just dark smoke. فَلَا تَنْتَصِرَانَ. You won't even be able to help each other. Sometimes you make up a team and you say, if we run into trouble, we'll help each other out. فَلَا تَنْتَصِرَانَ. This shows mutual assistance. You will not be able to help each other out on that day. Even if you've agreed beforehand to do so. فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. Which of the bounties will you continue to reject?
فَإِذَا شَقَّتِ السَّمَاءُ فَكَانَتْ وَرْدَةً كَالدِّهَانِ.
This one is, when the heavens will split. Why will the heavens split on the day of judgment? Do you know how many angels are residing in the heavens? We have seven heavens, and they are very large, very expansive. And a hadith mentions that there's not a hand's amount of space, a handspan of space, that is without an angel. There are angels on all of these heavens that are just glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These heavens will split, and the angels will come through. And this shows the preference of the opinion that the reckoning will take place on the earth after it has been flattened out. So we hear إِذَا السَّمَاءُ انشَقَّتْ إِذَا السَّمَاءُ انفَطَرَتْ. All of that refers to when the sky is split. What is it being split for? It's split because the inhabitants of the heavens, the angels, are coming down in huge numbers. Such that the sky, it's just going to be a totally different scene. If a person comes back home, may Allah forbid, and something's happened in the house, maybe a fire, may Allah forbid, somebody's come and ransacked the house and looted the house, you feel so strange because you're out of your familiar setting. Things are different, they look strange. Can you imagine wherever you turn, it will be strange? You see everything's totally flat. People are helpless. There's nothing for you to hold on to. There's nothing for you to hide behind. You look up at the heavens and it's different. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَكَانَتْ وَرْدَةً كَالدِّهَانِ It will become red, like a rose. وَرْدَةً وَرْدَة is a rose. It'll become reddish, but not a pleasant red, a frightening red. كَالدِّهَانِ Which is like raw hides, red hides. That's how it'll seem. Because the sky has split now. And these angels will just come down in all their grace and just surround everybody. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu says that this whole depiction is because of the fright, the changes. So it's not just a mind change that's happening here. There are things actually changing. The mountains becoming flat, the earth becoming totally flat. لا ترى فيها عوجا ولا أمتا. You won't see any crookedness or up or down in it. And what the Mufassirin explain is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala there has used two words, عِوَجًا and أَمْتًا. One of them refers to the fact that it will be so smooth and so fine and so straight that if you look at it with naked eyes, you won't be able to see a up and down, any crookedness. Even if you were to take measuring, engineering instruments to see the flatness, you won't be able to see even through that instrument that there will be even a slight up or down unevenness in that. It will be totally flattened out. And then this is the state of them. So now it makes sense. إِذَا السَّمَاءُ انشَقَّتْ What does that mean? إِذَا السَّمَاءُ انفَطَرَتْ وَإِذَا الْكَوَاكِبُ انْتَثَرَتْ وَإِذَا الْبِحَارُ فُجِّرَتْ وَإِذَا الْكُبُورُ بُعْثِرَتْ And when the graves start to throw the inhabitants out. عَلِمَتْ نَفْسٌ مَا أَحْضَرَتْ Every nafs and every soul and every person will know now what is present in front of them. It's not something that, you know, you can reinterpret. It's just going to be such a reality that is different. And thus Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says again, فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ Which of the bounties of your Lord will you deny? فَيَوْمَئِذٍ لَا يُسْأَلُ عَنْ ذَنْبِهِ إِنْسٌ وَلَا جَانِ Now if somebody thinks I can wiggle my way out of it, I can use some ability that I have to be able to convince somebody that it wasn't me, and maybe give me another chance, or let me do this, or let me do that. You won't even be questioned. As it mentions here, on that day, neither a man nor a jinn will be questioned about his sins. Because, as it says, the guilty ones will be recognized through their marks and will be seized by their foreheads and feet. يُعْرَفُ الْمُجْرِمُونَ بِسِيمَاهُمْ فَيُؤْخَذُ بِالنَّوَاصِي وَالْأَقْدَامِ And what that means is, on that day when the sky is split, nobody of the human and jinn, the sinners of the human and jinn will be asked about their sins because there will be signs on themselves about that. What are the signs? Darkness of the face. It's not it's not color. There's just this darkness that comes over the whitest person when they are in some kind of gloom. It doesn't have to be black pigment. It's just the darkness that shadows a person. And the other thing is, everybody's described this as darkness of the face, blueness of the eyes. Blueness of the eyes. Imam Fakhruddin al-Razi said, nobody will be asked. Nobody's going to ask you, the angels will not ask you, did you do such and such a sin? That's going to happen afterwards. Right now, this is the tormenting part where that question will not be asked, that did you commit such a sin or did somebody else do it? Imam Hassan al-Basri, he said that this sign is this blackness of the darkness of the face and blueness of the eyes. Where does he get that from? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَنَحْشُرُ الْمُجْرِمِينَ يَوْمَئِذٍ زُرْقًا We will gather together the mujrimeen, the sinners, on that day, zurqan. زرقاً زرقاء أزرق. This is the color blue. So it says, we will gather them together and they will be blue. What is going to be blue? It says the eyes will be blue. I don't know if you want to get, you know, people like these contact lenses that make your eyes blue. She had the bluest eyes. Yeah. I mean, we're not condemning anybody with blue eyes here, right? But that's going to be the state. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يَوْمَ تَبْيَضُّ وُجُوهُ وَتَسْوَدُّ وُجُوهُ. On some days the faces will be bright and resplendent, and there'll be others that will be downcast and dark with gloom. فَيُؤْخَذُ بِالنَّوَاسِي وَالْأَقْدَامِ. Nawasi, which means the forelocks. The angels will begin to grab them from their forelocks and their aqdam, which means their feet. And it says that when they do that, they'll just pick them up like that and throw them into the hellfire. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu says, when that will happen, when they will pick them up that way from the forelocks and the feet, it will cause them to their bones to break, and they'll be thrown into the hellfire. فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. هَذِهِ جَهَنَّمُ الَّتِي يُكَذِّبُ بِهَا الْمُجْرِمُونَ. This is the Jahannam. Jahannam is one part of paradise, one part of hellfire. This is the hellfire that guilty people have denied. It will be said to them, هَذِهِ جَهَنَّمُ. This is the Jahannam which the guilty people would deny. This is quite a graphic depiction compared to many of the others that we've read so far. And it's quite long. Normally there's a few ayat. Here there's several ayat. There's very graphic about this. Starting from the time that the sky will split. Anyway, this is what will be said to them, that this is what you have been rejecting all along. It's now clearly in front of you. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just gives a bit of an explanation of what will happen in there. يَطُوفُونَ بَيْنَهَا وَبَيْنَ حَمِيمٍ آن. That, and I'm not sure exactly how this will be, because that's difficult for us to understand. But it says that they will be going around. They will circle around between it and between hot boiling water. So if they can escape the fire looking at some promising water, it will be hot and boiling when they get there. When they drink it, it will tear their insides and it will burn their insides out. So they'll either go there, they'll go back to the fire, there will be no escape. They'll be running from one place to the other, looking for some promise, and they don't know which place is worse. يَطُوفُونَ بَيْنَهَا وَبَيْنَ حَمِيمٍ آن. فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. Which of the bounties of your Lord will you deny? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins to speak about the people of paradise. And he says, and I'll just read a bit of a description here. And for the one who is fearful of having to stand before his Lord, those, when they stand in front of their Lord, they're fearful. Those who are fearful, and thus it makes them stand in front of their Lord, they go towards their prayer. I mean, if we're able to miss prayers quite easily, and all we focus on is Jumu'ah, or we just about do qadha of the prayer, we think it's okay to miss it, then seriously, there is something wrong. Because this is speaking about the such an importance of standing in front of the Lord. For the one who is fearful of having to stand before his Lord, there are two gardens. Now, in the next part, what's going to be explained is there's one whole page where it speaks about the foremost category, the highest category of believers, where they will be given all of these things in paradise. Then it says, after that it will be said, and besides these two gardens that we just described, there are two other gardens that are slightly lower gardens. So that is then for the second category of believers. But both of them are absolutely amazing. And thus Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, for the one who is fearful of having to stand before his Lord, there are two gardens. So which of the bounties of your Lord will you deny? Both having branches, which of the bounties of your Lord will you deny? In both there are flowering springs. So which of the bounties of your Lord will you deny? In both there are two kinds of every fruit. So which of the bounties of your Lord will you deny? The people of these gardens will be reclining on flooring, whose even lining will be of thick silk, and the fruits plucked from the two gardens will be at hand. So which of the bounties of your Lord will you deny? In them there will be maidens restraining their glances, whom neither a man might have touched before them nor a jinn. So which of the bounties of your Lord will you deny? They will look like rubies and corals. So which of the bounties of your Lord will you deny? Is there any reward for goodness other than goodness? So this is half of the description of paradise that we will inshallah look at in more detail inshallah in the next session. So inshallah next week we'll be finishing this, and after that we're going to be starting the Shama'il of Imam Tirmidhi, the Shama'il Muhammadiyya, which is the characteristics of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. اللهم أنت السلام ومنك السلام تبارك يا ذا الجلال والإكرام اللهم يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث اللهم يا حنان يا منان لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين جزى الله عنا محمدا ما هو أهله اللهم اهدنا واهد بنا واجعلنا هداة لمن اهتدى اللهم ارحمنا بالقرآن العظيم واجعله لنا إماما وهدى ونورا ورحمة اللهم ذكرنا منه ما نسينا وعلمنا منه ما جهلنا اللهم ارزقنا تلاوته آناء الليل وآناء النهار اللهم قوي في رضاك ضعفنا اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى اللهم إنا نسألك العفو والعافية في الدين والدنيا والآخرة اللهم إنا نسألك تمام العافية ودوام العافية والشكر على العافية وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب